This is the True Voice Media Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Gibbard. Back in 2011, I started a social business agency called True Voice Media. In 2013, I launched this podcast because my audience told me that they wanted to learn more about how social media could help them grow their business, but they wanted it to be interesting and without all the standard social media hype and BS. Just someone who will give it to them straight with honest, simple strategies that they can use today. If you're a new listener and that sounds like what you want too, listen to this episode. And if you love it, subscribe to our show. We'd love to have you on board. So without further ado, let's get started. This is episode 53, and I'm here with Parshel Hotton. Is it Hotton or Houghton? How do I say
Hotton.
It? Hotton. I thought I was saying it right. Hotton like cotton. Same sort of spelling.
There you go.
Perfect. Parshel Hotton is the owner and proprietor, CEO, big brains behind Fresh Level Productions. So Parshel, tell everyone about yourself, who you are, what you do, and what your day-to-day looks like.
Awesome. Well, we, like you mentioned, we're in the video production space. We consider ourselves in the video marketing space more so just because nowadays video should be backed by strategy. So we help a lot of our clients to utilize their expertise, utilize their story in ways that engage their audience and build those relationships towards building their business. So that's essentially what we do. We're really results driven. So from day to day, I mean, with my position in the company, I do a lot of relationship building, business development, interactions, and I love what we do. We've been able to work with some great clients, and you know, we're serving two markets as well, between Virginia Beach and here in Philly. And it's just been a blessing, man. I'm just really excited about what we're doing.
Awesome. Well, you said something that I want to really touch upon. I want to dig a little deeper in just to start off with. So for those of you listening, this episode is going to be all about video. We're going to talk about what's going on in the world of video, where it's going, where it's been, and a lot of tips and tricks along the way. But where I want to start with you is you made a very clear distinction there where you said it's not just video production, but it's video marketing. Can you explain a little bit more about what you mean in today's day and age when we discuss not just making the video, but what to do with it?
Right. I always tell people when we talk about video is, you know, what is it? What is the result that you want from the video? And the reason we switched over to more of a marketing perspective is because a lot of our clients, when we go back to them to ask about, you know, how things were going and to touch base, get ready to do another video, a lot of them weren't as excited about it because nothing really came of it. And so that really essentially, you know, a light bulb went off in the sense that, you know, a lot of our clients need more than just the video. Yeah, they need more than just the video. And what we've done is we've essentially in our process brought on the strategy piece that would happen before we even start. And then on the tail end, how we can using social media platforms to make sure that the investment in the video is worth it. You know what I mean? So we look at a lot more data. We're looking at where the audience is online and positioning the video in those places that, you know, is most relevant and makes sense for a very impactful result.
So talk to me a little bit more about that. Tell me more about what exactly you're doing in there. And it's, you know, as a video production company, I'd imagine there's a lot of time you spend in pre-production. There's the production itself, the post-production, but now you're also adding in the distribution phase and how to make sure that gets out there. What, I guess, first question is long, you know, short answer. What percentage of your time is dedicated towards the promotion of the video versus the entire process of the creation? And then I would say secondary to that is, where are you spending the majority of your time on video distribution these days? Is it Facebook? Is it YouTube? Is it kind of a mix of a lot of different things? Or are you finding your time really well spent in a few places, but hitting it harder?
Gotcha. That was a lot of questions.
it was just a lot of words for two questions. First one is, what's the distribution breakdown? And then two, like, where are you doing it?
So the percentage of our time, I'd say, is increasing in terms of the amount of time we're spending on the actual promotion. So I would probably say right now it's about like 60% of the time is probably spent more on the creation, and then the, you know, remaining 40% is more so on the distribution and more of the marketing and the strategy behind it. So it's increasing, and so that's a lot of it's a lot of fun, and we're able to see really good results, and it just takes the video production and the creative to the next step. You know what I mean? So, you know, as it relates to those places where we've seen a lot of success, so far Facebook's platform for advertising has been really, really, really positive for us and for our clients, in the sense that we're able to use Facebook's data to really target in on who, you know, who we want to go after, and so, or who we want to see the video, which I think is pretty powerful as opposed to just sending it out to the masses. So, you know, that's through just some best practices, let's say, of natively uploading the files to Facebook, and as well as using the advertising platform to, you know, integrate video into our clients' post and reach. So it's been really, really good. And I was mentioning before, or I was going to mention, there's one client, for example, that we had just done a project with, and she's, you know, she's pretty good with social media and she understands it pretty well. And so, you know, she just started plugging away in terms of spreading the video, and she had uploaded to YouTube, and she had put a YouTube link inside of, you know, in her post on Facebook, and she posted it, and I, you know, we saw it, and I told her, I said, you know what, as a best practice, let's go ahead and actually natively upload this file to Facebook. And the difference between the two was so crazy just within that first day. So, and she has a pretty good following online. She's a photographer. So the YouTube way, in terms of her just posting the link, she had maybe less than 100 views, like, to the actual YouTube video, but on the Facebook, or, you know, natively uploading it to her Facebook post, she had at least close to like 7 grand that day. Did I say 7 grand? I'm thinking too much about money, man. I'm 7,000.
Yeah.
7,000.
7 grand.
7,000 views by the end of the day. Hey, she probably made it.
That's fantastic.
Hey everyone, I just want to take a moment out to thank one of the partners that we have that makes this show possible, WP Engine. You know, back in the days of dial-up, people would wait for websites to load, but attention spans are shorter than ever. Did you know that the average attention span has dropped to a mere 8 seconds? And for reference, the average attention span of a goldfish is only 9 seconds. So you only have a short period of time to hook people on your website, and if half that time is spent waiting for the page to load, you are sure to lose customers. Beyond that, what do you do when your website goes down? Who do you call? Well, today's best businesses are running websites that load quickly and have virtually no downtime. In the event something does go wrong, the best businesses are back up and running in no time. That's why the best businesses trust WP Engine for hosting. If you're running a WordPress site like nearly 20% of the entire web, you owe it to yourself to upgrade your hosting to WP Engine. It's fast, it's secure, and their support is amazing. We use WP Engine at True Voice Media, and over the next 18 months, we're planning to move every single one of our sites to WP Engine. That's how good it is. Right now, WP Engine is offering 2 months free when you prepay for the entire year. And when you get to the site, look along the top of the page for additional discounts and offers. Go to truevoicemedia.com/hosting to learn more about the best damn WordPress hosting on the web. So when you're running these campaigns on Facebook, just, I want to dig into tactics for just a minute. Are you running, there's a lot of different objectives you can choose on Facebook. Have you dabbled with the difference in running a page post engagement versus a video views versus a website click or a website conversion? Have you seen any success in any particular objective over another?
Yeah, in particular, the video engagement is the one that we've been focusing in on more. And we have seen that Facebook really, really likes that. So they're, you know, really pushing it even more once they see the engagement is there. And it's kind of like Facebook now, with their algorithm and whatever tiny ninjas they have working behind their system, is pushing it out even more. So that's been really, really good. And I think that, and it seems as well, as that, of course, if the video is engaging, they're pushing that even more, especially when the engagement's there and people are responding, sharing, and doing things of that nature. Facebook just takes it and really helps to push that objective is reached even more. yeah. and rewards you for that.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of success with our clients on Facebook as well. Have you started to look at the using, for instance, Twitter video or LinkedIn, posting YouTube videos on LinkedIn or Vimeo videos on LinkedIn, seen any success with that? One of the reasons I ask is that a lot of the B2B clients that we've worked with, we've done some research and found that especially older men between, 45 and up are very, very large watchers of online video. And we've seen a lot of statistics mm-hmm. to show that women are very heavy consumers of our online video as well. So we've seen some pretty good uptick just in organic social media marketing on LinkedIn using video. Have you had any of the same experiences?
Yeah, we have. We actually just produced a bunch of content for somebody who strictly does most of their social selling and networking on LinkedIn. And so far, they've gotten a huge response. And I'd say that the platform that we've been playing with mostly is with Wistia, which is, it's a video hosting platform that kind of delves a little bit more in terms of the data and, how people are actually engaging throughout the video. And considering that this client is, in the B2B space and really focused on training, like that's what they do is they train. They really wanted to make sure that people are engaging through the, throughout the video. And so Wistia gives you that type of outlook on a video to see, okay, did people skip around? Did they watch the entire way through? Did they repeat certain areas? So that those analytics have already been really helpful to them to see in terms of once we get ready to record the next set for, let's say, the next quarter, they know what objectives or what content really stuck with the audience. And so Wistia, I would say, has been really, really good in terms of just, really controlling that and being able to include calls to action and, things of that nature. So we've seen a lot of success with that more so than YouTube, just because I think Wistia also allows us more control over where the video is placed, as opposed to, I know in a lot of YouTube videos, after you're finished watching it, then, you're seeing other videos that may or may not be relevant, And then now you're off to something else, whereas Wistia keeps the viewer on track for what it is that you want them to do next,
Yeah, so can you do me a favor and just back up real quick so that what you just said all has context? And for anybody that would be listening that has absolutely no idea what Wistia is, can you just give like the 30-second, what is Wistia and why would you use it?
Gotcha. So Wistia is a video hosting platform. It's similar to a YouTube, it's similar to a Vimeo. It's a platform where you upload the video and then you can embed and share that video anywhere you want on the internet, same way you can with a YouTube video. If you wanted to upload your file to YouTube and then share it, it's the same, in essence, on the same playing field as those others like Vimeo and YouTube. It's just that Wistia is built for marketers, I would say, and those who are really serious about engaging with their audience, to where, for example, Wistia allows you to collect email addresses right within the player, before someone plays it, or you can have them to, or they can be prompted to give their email address in the middle of the video. So it just offers a lot of calls to action, lead-in, and really allows you to more easily set up the path that you want the viewer to take with it. So, and it gives you a whole lot more control, again, as opposed to a platform like YouTube.
So basically, would it be worth using Wistia on Facebook, even though you don't get the kind of organic reach that you would with Facebook's own video, or the lower costs per clicks and cost per engagement, that basically the benefit of posting it natively to Facebook for those additional features? Have you ever had any circumstances where you've opted to use Wistia instead of native Facebook?
Yes. And to me, it just really depends on the audience, who it is that we're wanting to go after. If this is something that's more B2B or something that's more, more so for a training or consulting, or this person already has a particular funnel set up, we tend to lean towards Wistia just because we want more control over that. But let's say that this is a thought leader, someone who's wanting to establish a following and a presence online, then we tend to lean towards YouTube simply because of the engagement on YouTube. You're being found for, you know, search items such as how to's and, you know, how to become a millionaire in 10 days sort of content. So I think it really just depends on, you know, what the objective is for that client and which platform it makes sense for them to be on, you know?
Yep.
And with Facebook, I say it's the same thing. It's, you know, is your audience on Facebook? And most times they are, and it just depends as well. I mean, Facebook is a very social environment. And so typically you're wanting that content that's on Facebook to be pretty quick, pretty engaging, something that people can share and comment really quick and just keep moving.
Yeah.
I'm off Facebook, you know?
Yeah. With Facebook, it's a sort of thing where, you know, whatever amount of your audience is on Facebook, you can reach. So it's net, you know, it's rarely the question anymore, is your audience on Facebook? It's just how much of them are there. And if you have a budget, at least you can get in front of them. So there may only be, you know, 5,000 people that meet your criteria, but Facebook, if you give them money, we'll get it in front of them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about the trends in business then, especially while we're on the Facebook conversation. Have you experimented in any way with your clients around Facebook Live or any of the other live video platforms like Periscope or Ustream or, you know, even getting down into Snapchat? Have you worked with any clients on any of those sort of initiatives using live video or unedited kind of authentic video?
No, we haven't done anything yet in that regard. But what I would say is that we've certainly suggested as strategy and advice for some people. For example, I have one client who's looking to bring attention and awareness around their nonprofit. And a lot of the issues that they're talking about are somewhat controversial and they're a little edgy. And so my recommendation to them was to utilize Facebook Live and the Periscopes in order to get their message out and to start to build a following and to get people interested. And so, you know, I think that is something that, you know, people can easily go ahead and start doing today. In terms of preparation, it doesn't really require, you know, a film crew and things of that nature to get it done. So we haven't delved very much into it for our clients, but we have certainly advised that some of our clients do it. So I know that that's something, considering that that's down the road, that's something that is going to be very, very huge coming down the line. We're definitely interested in looking into ways that we can combine that with, you know, really creative content from a production standpoint and how that can still come across in a live, you know, in a live manner.
Yeah. So when you've got something like Facebook Live video or Periscope or any of those sort of things, and you've got now the introduction of 360 cameras and you have the forthcoming virtual reality, and then you have all these different styles of video from educational to viral style to, heartstring plucking sort of emotional videos. You have all these different styles. You have news styles. And how do you go about advising a client about what is the right style for their business or the right approach to be taking? Because we could easily get bogged down in helping, you know, a B2B client shoot a drone video, but that might not be right for them. What's your starting point that you generally go through with a client to begin determining, you know, what are the right tools to be using, and then what's the right messaging we need to get across?
Right. I love this question, man, because this is kind of where we really get excited. We always start with what the goals are. You know, and that goal can be for the year, for the next 6 months. And, you know, that can range from, well, we have all these, you know, great clients. We need to re-engage them, you know, or we are trying to bring more awareness about what we're doing or about who we are. We need to get the word out about who we are and what we're doing. And it could also be in the sense of, well, we need something more internally as a team, as an organization to, you know, bring on new staff and having that process laid out that way. So it always, to me, and what we found worked really well is just to start with looking at what is it that you want as a result of the video. Because at the end of the day, we're not purchasing the video. It's more so the result that comes from it. What is the end goal? And we usually start there and then work backwards. So I know some people, for example, they might say that there's so much noise in their industry. Like, for example, let's say event planning. Tons of event planners, and some of them are starting to showcase their work through video. But what I always tell people is that if you're in a space where there's a lot of competition and there's plenty of other people doing it, the number one thing that's going to cause you to stand out among all the others is your story. And people connect with story. People relate, you know, emotionally to why you're doing what you're doing. And that really brings that emotional connection and starts the relationship. So in that case, we recommend that we do a company overview where we're actually, you know, delving into, in terms of like an interview style type of video, to really dig into why are you doing this? Why are you passionate about this? Because their passion is going to be different from the passion of the competitor up the street, you know? And so that's just one example, but we look at the goals, we look at the company, what they're trying to achieve, and then essentially map out what type of video makes sense to accomplish that.
So what do you say to the client? Because I have my own answer for this, because I get asked this all the time, but what do you say to the client that believes, but we have a boring product, or we don't think our audience is on social media? Those are two questions I hear all, or two statements I hear all the time. But what do you say to the company, more importantly, that says we have a boring product? It's not sexy. What do you say to them? What's your approach to handle that?
My approach is really, it may seem boring, but they're solving a problem. Therefore, it's not boring. I mean, that's kind of how I feel about it. And there are ways to still capture that. For example, we just recently started doing some work in the manufacturing, logistics, and trucking space. And those are, you know, you wouldn't think of it as being interesting or sexy, right? But I mean, that's kind of where you can rely on a creative team. And if you have the right people working with you, let's say like you and I, who know how to capture content and to express it well, then it won't come across as being boring. You know, that's kind of like something that you and I really enjoy, taking the boring and making it look like $1 million, making it look appealing or to be engaging, you know, to the viewer who they're looking to do business with. So that's kind of how I usually would respond to it. And then of course as it relates to the internet and where people are online, a lot of people also tell us that, like you mentioned, well, my audience isn't on social media, or they're not interested in those sorts of things. And it's like, well, yeah, they are. And sometimes we will, as simple as get on YouTube and do a search for a question, something related to the industry. And lo and behold, there's a whole community of people who are engaging in this content. And I think in most cases, those individuals are thinking more so from a traditional, you know, outbound type of marketing, as opposed to what's becoming more popular and more efficient in terms of marketing is more the inbound. You know what I mean? So that's kind of how, you know, I usually respond to those sorts of questions.
Yeah, absolutely. And I kind of mirror what you just said in similar ways. I'll usually focus on either highlight your people, highlight your customers with spotlight videos and things like that, or talk about the frequently asked questions, so at least you're solving the problem. So if you, no matter how unsexy your product is, your people are interesting and they're a good story, your customers are a good story and they'll appreciate the additional exposure and promotion. And if you solve some of the frequently asked questions, then, you know, at least you're on the right track with that. So those are generally the ways that I go with it. Let me ask you this. So you work, you know, given the work that you do, which is so heavily emphasized on video and video marketing, when you get the client that says, but we don't have any budget, which I know you do because we all do. When I look at the different media opportunities that we have, you know, there's written copy, there's images and graphics and photography, and then there's video, you know, candidly, it's true that video is going to be probably the more expensive of all of these. How do you generally either justify that or recommend that the budget be allocated so that companies feel like they're getting the best bang for their buck on their budget? And how do you recommend that they establish a budget for video?
Right. So, yeah, when it comes to numbers, I mean, I've had everything from, oh, I thought this was going to be $100, you know, for you to come and film all of our organization or something. I mean, we get a lot of responses in that, but you know, really just like with anything else, you know, we're also in the business of educating our clients and making sure that they understand what goes into what we do. And so the first thing that we do is certainly look at, again, the end goal. because what we're doing holds some value to them, or else we wouldn't be. So, you know, we're trying to also determine what is that break-even point. So that's a conversation that we often have is, you know, what's the lifetime value or the value of a client to your business? You know, how many do you think that, how many more do you think will come in a given time frame in order for you, you know, with the goal of breaking even, you know, how many do we need to achieve that? Do you think that this video will make it happen? And if so, then, you know, it makes sense. So, you know, we as a company don't necessarily rely on a package system with our pricing. It does vary just because there's 50 million ways you can produce video. So we usually just kind of have a better understanding of what their goals are, what they're trying to achieve, and then actually bring the numbers into the conversation. We want to know how many clients they're looking to attain, you know, what that means to their business. And then we usually also, in terms of advising on what their budget should be, I've heard some different rules of thoughts about, you know, how to budget. And really it boils down to, I believe, you know, everyone has a cost to acquire a customer, right? And then you have the lifetime value of that customer. So really everyone's budget should be unlimited, so to speak, based on, you know, the cost to acquire a client. That's what we're in the business to do, is to go after more. So however much it takes in order to, you know, pay that many to acquire a customer, that's your budget. So the question really becomes, how many clients do you want to have? How many, what type of reach do you want to have? How much awareness do you want around this, around your company? So that's the conversation that we have, along with, I'll say one other thing as a recommendation, is to also not just look at, you know, like a 1 month or 2 month sort of thing in terms of an arrangement with a company and doing a campaign. I usually like to look at things with our clients on a yearly basis. You know, so we're actually in a relationship for the year, and we can continue to improve once we're looking at data and combining what's worked and what hasn't to make really good informed decisions about, you know, the next series of videos or the next project that we do together. So I think looking at everything from a year standpoint is also really powerful for, you know, understanding how to budget and knowing what should be allocated in that respect.
Got it. So do you have any recommendations for a lot of the people that listen to this podcast are small businesses, some of them are medium-sized businesses, and there's a lot of solopreneurs. What are some cost-effective video options that you think, you know, most small businesses should start with if they have nothing in their video library? Where are some good places to start? And if you don't mind, I'll just kick off my idea, is that I generally think it's smart to have some sort of a positioning statement video that introduces people to the company, some sort of a, you know, quick sales pitch of who you are and how you fit in the market and how you're different from your other competitors. I think that's a good starting point, and I think it can be done relatively inexpensively.
Right. And I totally agree with that. On the other end, even probably going more cost effective in that regard is using your phone. I mean, and I know that that sounds weird for me to say, but I would say that when it comes to what we mentioned before about Facebook Live and these opportunities that are there to start to engage with people today, like right now, is right before us. And so, you know, you can certainly start there and you start to use really good content. And some people ask, well, I don't know what type of content to share. But as soon as I ask a question or, you know, delve into something, they just start spilling out this wonderful content that will be useful to a bunch of other people. So, you know, if someone, you know, if you're talking to your prospects and having conversations with people, take note of the questions that they're asking, because those questions represent a larger whole of people with the same questions, you know? So those are good places to start with in terms of, you know, just having having something there that people can engage with in terms of video. From there, I would definitely suggest and totally agree with you that there should be something that is on your website. And that could be in the form of a company overview, kind of like as you mentioned, like something that positions them. And then certainly, like I mentioned before, like other content that will address the questions that they know that their prospects would have. One other thing that I'll mention too is a really, really neat program or software that actually connects with your Gmail and allows you to send video email. And this is something that works really, really good for not only prospecting, but when you're networking. So essentially within your Gmail app, or if you use Chrome, you're able to open up an email and record a video right from your computer, and it embeds itself into the email and sends it out. And you're able to also track if someone clicked it, opened it, and that sort of thing. So it's really powerful in that way to utilize the video in a really fairly easy way, and allow people to be engaged in that respect as well. So, you know, depending on where, you know, a company is, I think that those tools are really helpful and good places to start for utilizing video.
What was the name of that tool?
Oh, I didn't even say it. It's bombbomb.com.
Bombbomb. B-O-M-B-O-M, like Mark? B-O-M or B-O-N?
B-O-M-B, B-O-M-B.com.
Aha. Okay. Bombbomb, like exploding bomb. All right, I'm going to put that in the show notes so people have cool things to use. I was using this program a while back. It was an app called VU. It was lowercase v and then Y-O-U. And it was a way to send personalized video messages. And I have long been a fan of like the personalized video messages that are now obviously quite popular on Snapchat. So I think that's a huge move, especially in sales conversations, to send a short video. And really balancing that raw and authentic video versus produced and nicely put together video, I think is going to be a delicate balance in the coming years. But I want to ask you about the coming years and kind of what you see as somebody who's in the industry, who's doing this on a regular basis. You're helping clients, you're seeing them succeed, you're seeing them fail, and you're hearing all of their questions and you know, watching the space very carefully. What do you think is coming up in the next, you know, 5 years, 10 years? Where do you see this all going? And one of the reasons I ask is that while video is an ancillary related component to everything that I do, you know, I'm constantly looking at social media as a tool for business and how we become social businesses. And if you asked me in 2008, what I see in the next 5 years, I would have said in the next 5 years, 80% of businesses will be social businesses. They will have social embedded in their DNA from the bottom all the way to the top. And here we are in 2016, and I could not be more wrong. There are still far too many people contacting me and say, how do we get more Facebook followers? So what do you see as being the realistic look at video over the next 5 years or so? I mean, are we going to make leaps and bounds, or are we making baby steps?
I think that the way that things are starting to come about, I mean, the fact that, like, when I get on my Facebook and I'm scrolling through, like, I'm stopping every 2 seconds and watching a video. I mean, I think that this is something that, you know, within the next 5 years, video, which has been for most businesses recently, like more so of a want, I see it becoming a need. And I see that happening the same way the trend was with websites. You know, there was a time where if you had a website, it wasn't a big deal. And now it's like a necessity. And I think that the same trend will happen with video within the next 5 years. I also see that there's going to be like more companies becoming media companies. And what I mean by that is, you know, let's say it's a CPA firm. You know, I see that CPA firm is now going to be producing a lot of content and video content, especially around topics and, you know, questions and things like that, that establish them as the expert. And so I think that that's going to be something that people or companies start to delve more into, is sharing their thoughts, sharing, you know, their expertise in different ways that continue to provide value.
I love that. You just preempted me, because I was about to, in between those two, I was just going to pause you and say, well, do you see that more companies are probably going to be moving towards becoming a media company? And you kind of cut me off at the pass, which is good. It means that we're thinking along the same path. Let me ask you this. I've heard a lot of rumblings about the move towards becoming almost like filmmakers internally. So, you know, not just creating short little quippy videos, but also potentially producing things like documentaries or more in-depth stories that last more than just 15 seconds of video, but instead, you know, a minute, minute and a half, 2 minute videos that are telling short stories. Is that something that you've seen any more interest in over the past like 6 months or so?
Yeah, I would say so. And I kind of mirror it to like what's happening with entertainment, you know, and reality TV. It's like this transparent, you know, like, here's a look inside of my house and us arguing. And, you know, it's kind of like this trend that has become extremely popular over time. And I think that the way that people are used to interacting is going to follow suit. or is going to start to mimic that, really, because I think that, you know, even if you look at advertisements, you're starting to see more of the CEOs of companies in commercials, which wasn't really heard of before, but it gives this insider experience into that company. And so I think that what you just described was basically going to allow people to experience the inside of that company from day to day. There's a social media company based out of San Diego who recently just set up all these cameras in their office, and they'll be able just to do live streaming episodes and put out all this content live, like, on a regular basis.
That's pretty cool.
So I see that as kind of like the trend. It's like, you know, everybody getting in each other's business, almost, like, you know, really digging into what's it like to be there. You know, what's it like to be in the life of this person or in this company?
Yep.
So I definitely see that as a trend that's definitely going to come about pretty strong.
All right, cool. Well, we're bumping up against the end of our time here, so I'm going to leave with one last question and let you kind of sail us off into the sunset. For anybody that is out there that's listening right now and they're thinking about doing some work with a video firm, you know, they've decided they want to, you know, get into the video game, they've decided they have a little bit of budget or something like that, and they're thinking about getting into video, what are some of the steps you would suggest that they take to prepare for working with a video firm, and any other sort of advice about things that they should be focusing on or thinking about?
Yeah, absolutely. I would definitely say that, you know, as you're preparing to work with a company, you definitely want to just really come to the table ready for really good discussion to talk about what your goals are, and really having that to be pretty clear. What is it that you want as a result? I would definitely start there. So that way there's purpose, and that way it actually feeds the strategy behind the project that you'll end up doing. I would certainly make sure that the company is professional. And some ways just to tell that, of course, is that the company, they have a good track record. You know, they ask the right questions. They understand business. They understand marketing. I would say it's really important. You know, in my opinion, now as things are progressing with video, you know, video professionals should now be asking more questions outside of just the creative. You know, I think that the conversation should also delve into what are your goals here, or, you know, and coming with the strategy they should be coming to you as a consultant almost, like, this is what I recommend based on your business goals. And so I would make sure they're asking those right questions, and also take a look at what other businesses are doing. Check out what your competitors are doing, because certainly that will give some indication as to what you could be doing, or if you share that with the company, how they could be better, or it could be more strategic and have more results for you at the end. And the other piece that I would say is, I don't know, it just boils back to strategy and having a really good game plan. And a lot of people don't know what that is. And so certainly if you're ready to do video and, you know, you're not sure where to start, I would definitely recommend, you know, a strategy session, which I hope you don't mind that I mentioned here, is like, that's something that we love to do. And as an offer to whomever is listening, if you want us to put together a video marketing strategy for you, we would absolutely love to do that. And so, and to do that, just to get in touch with us, you can text my video to 44222. And that way we can set up a time and kind of delve into specific for your company, what type of custom strategy makes sense for your goals.
That's awesome. And I in no way take offense to you making that offer. I love when any of my guests come on and give special offers to my listeners. That is fantastic. So you said that was 64222?
So it's text my video, and we're going to text that to 44222.
44222. Okay, cool. I will be sure to put those in the show notes so that anybody who has listened can find it in the show notes. I'm also going to put bombbomb.com. We'll put a link to your website. And where else can people go to be social with you, to learn more about you, and to see some of your work?
Yeah, absolutely. Our website, freshlevelpro.com, as well as you can follow us on Twitter at freshlevelpro.
Excellent. Well, Parshel, it has been a pleasure to have you on to talk about video. I'm just realizing here we are doing an audio-only episode talking about video, and oh, the irony. But thank you for coming on and sharing your wisdom and your experience, and I hope everybody who's listened gathered some knowledge that they can go and use for themselves and will consider doing more video in the future. And if you do, definitely give Parshel a call. She definitely knows what she's talking about. We've been connected for a little while now, and I've had the chance to see some of your work, and I know that you're the real deal. So for all of you out there listening, go give her a look. And for everybody out there listening, thanks so much for tuning in. As you do, we appreciate your time and your attention. Go over to iTunes, give us a rating, and be sure to join us for the next episode. Parshel, thanks for being here.
Thanks so much, Seth.
You've been listening to the True Voice Media Podcast, and you made it all the way to the end of the episode. I'm proud of you. But now that you're here, this is what we're going to need you to do. First of all, head on over to your favorite podcast platform and give us a rating. If you don't know where to start, go to truevoicemedia.com/feedback. Next, if you're not yet a subscriber, it's time you fix that. Head over to truevoicemedia.com/podcast to subscribe by iTunes, Stitcher, or email. If you really want to show us some love, visit our partners and sponsors who help make this show possible. I know the show feels free, but trust me, it's not. I sure ain't done publishing these episodes, so I sure hope you're not done listening. I'll see you on the next one. Take care.